All right, somebody give Jesus praise. Somebody give Jesus praise. Somebody let me know who our King of Kings is. Who's our Lord of Lords? Who's Emmanuel? Who's the Ancient of Days? Who's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah? Who is exalted? Who's holy? Who is our brazen altar? Who knows better than anyone else? He is coming back one day, and he is going to behold his bride. And all I want to ask you this morning is, are you ready? Are you ready? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, I certainly must say that the feelings are mutual. I'm thankful to be in such a place as this with such loving people, and that's something that's undeniable. When it comes to love, it's undeniable. And we've seen that from the very moment we stepped foot in this church. And I'm glad to sit under the teaching of Pastor Michael Haney, because it's not often that you're able to have someone who's willing to pour into you and willing for you to have an opportunity to even share with the people that God has placed them over, because it's a very big deal and I don't take it lightly. I thank God for you all, and I thank God certainly for my wife. I thank God for 12 years of marriage with her. I thank God for what he is doing in this house, and what he's doing in the marriages in this house, and what he's doing for the faith of this house, and where he's taking us to. And I believe beyond any shadow of doubt that we're going to a place that we have yet to tap into. Amen. Think about it. It's amazing how God is. And my walk with him is so interesting, because I don't mind doing what God asks me to do. And since we have a relationship, I feel like when I go to him that he's going to speak to me. And sometimes I know he's speaking, but yet there's a portion of me that says, no, that isn't it. And if anybody knows me, when I first came to know the Lord, and the years when I first became into my first love, I was, for the lack of a better term, I would call myself the preacher's pit bull. Because I was ready to gnaw on anybody who was doing something that they didn't have any business doing. And the bad thing about it was nobody ever said anything about it. And I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing. You know, I read these passages of, you know, Jesus telling the truth. Because the thing about it, I was telling the truth. But none of the older people got me and sat me down and said, you know, Jesus told the truth a lot. But they were ready to kill him. They were ready to lay hands on him. He had to sneak out through the crowd a few times. And I went and I looked into the scripture, preparing this week, and I studied, got my message, and then I realized how much God had placed his hands on me, in the effect that he wasn't going to allow me to go back into that arena of being a pit bull. And it's probably because of this man right here having laid on his heart to be preaching about the cross, because you can't condemn somebody and preach about the cross. You can't tell them how wrong they are and how bad they're doing and how messed up they are, as if we don't know about our sins. And so I had to remove myself out of the way, and I realized why God gave me a topic. And I want to talk to you about lifting the veil. And little did I know that he will be removing mine. Because there's a dispensation oftentimes that we get by way of our past, by way of our upbringing, by way of the people that we hang around. And whenever the scripture talks about a veil, people are veiled whenever they have on sackcloth. They're covering, they're hiding their shame, they're hiding the things that they don't want anyone else to see. And so this morning when we go into the scripture, I want to tell you that though this passage talks about lifting the veil and it comes from a law perspective, what I saw initially, and that's why I got over into that arena. But the scripture that I read this morning in opening went in direct reference to that passage. And it led me back over into God's grace. I thought I knew about God's grace, but he showed me another level of him. And I realized that I didn't have the capacity to whoop on people with the word as I have before. Because God is your father. And as a children's minister, if you don't know anything else, you better know you don't have any business hitting on nobody else's children. But when God deals with us and chastens those who he loves, but when you move over into marriage, when you move over into being his bride, he deals with you in a different fashion. Now it's the enemy that comes and brings storms, and it's the enemy that comes and hits you. So I had to realize the difference there. There's a level that God takes us to, and in the immediate, there's some correction that happens to us and for us. And notice I said for us, because the God we serve wouldn't allow for us to go down the wrong road without chastening us. That's why I love him so much, and that's why I'm so glad that as much as I know he loves me, I got to heading down that path, and he said, I'm not even going to talk about it. Not even going to talk about it. And oftentimes, and I taught a marriage conference yesterday, and oftentimes we get upset when our spouses won't talk to us. And by the same token, we'll get upset when they're talking too much. But be it known, sometimes when our spouse isn't talking, it's a good thing. Because communication isn't always verbal. And if God didn't say anything, I can tell you this, he touched me. Some of you have been in here and you've been touched before. And I'm believing that God is going to touch you again. Can we get that scripture up, please? Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. Let's pray. Lord, you're awesome. I thank you for your word of truth. I thank you for dealing with us, Lord, right where we are. I thank you that your arms are not too short that you can't save, and your ears aren't deaf to where you can't hear. So, Lord, this morning I'm asking you to hear our cry and meet us right where we are, oh God. Lord, nothing I can do, but Lord, everything you can do. And so we ask you to have your way in this place on this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lifting the veil. So as I've already shared to you, the very opening, because when it comes to lifting a veil, nobody can lift it like Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, the scripture that we read earlier was the indirect reference to this, because it said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay? And so if the Son sets you free, who is anyone else to have you bound? What do I mean? I mean, oftentimes we as a people, when we've done something wrong, when we've said something we shouldn't have said, when we went to places we shouldn't have went, when we've acted in manners that we shouldn't have acted, then we find ourselves feeling sorry for ourselves and feeling bad and not wanting to get back into the place and presence of God. But that isn't where He would have us to be. There's always forgiveness. There's always a hope. There's always a future. And it don't matter what you have done, I can assure you, God will forgive you. So we have to make sure that we don't ever hold anything ourselves that even God has given us forgiveness for. They call that self-righteousness, if you didn't know. And we don't have any righteousness in ourselves. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. And the thing about it, when it comes to our past, we all have one. Moses had a past. And the thing about it, I guess what led me over into how I was feeling about the passage is that I realized Moses was a leader, and a great leader he was. And he led many people of God. And you hadn't led anybody until you're a leader of God's people. In the name of Jesus, I declare that this sound belongs to our Father. I believe in you, Master, that the prince of the power of the air does not have a right or the ability to take any sound in this place on this day. Lord, you're going to be glorified, and we're not going to allow anything to stop the presence from going forth in this place. I declare and decree that we as a people will not stand by, sit around while the enemy tries to stir up stuff. And that's the thing, when it comes down to it, we have to make sure that we're always ready on the battlefield to fight for our Lord, fight for our people, fight for our right to be children of God. And that's what we've come to as a people. We're no longer fighting. And when we were out in the world, we didn't have any problem with standing bold, toe to toe, going for round with anyone. But now, for some reason, since we've come into the house of faith, and since we're so loving, we won't stand our ground. But God doesn't raise cowards. God is raising a people who will stand in the face of evil and tell evil where it can get off at, because we don't allow for anything to come in and lord it over our house. And as Moses being a leader of God's people, you would think that he was going to have it on easy street. You would think he was going to have it going on. But if anybody knows better, I am sure a pastor knows better. Not to say that it's a bad thing, but what I'm saying is, you deal with problems that you can't handle. You deal with problems oftentimes that may not even be as big as your own. And God is there to see you through it. Because see, I had an issue this week, because I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to speak to me. And then my daddy says, no, you're going to have to speak for me. And so here am I, to do the will of the Lord, because I understood that this did talk about Moses being in the presence of God. And how is it that you can be in the presence of God and be totally unveiled in His presence, where the fullness of joy is at, where everything is in the open, where He can see all of your issues, where He can see all of your flaws, and yet none of that matters because He loves you so much. The Bible says He so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if God so loved us that He would do that in order that we didn't have to feel condemned, what more then should we allow for ourselves to be free? It's a bad thing to have yourself bound. But, it's oftentimes comes from people's past. Moses had a past just like all of us. He had killed somebody, but maybe not like all of us. But I'm sure he had done some other things. But that we know of because it's written. But even that alone can do something to a person that causes them to feel unworthy. We know he felt like he was inadequate and wanted somebody to speak for him. When God tells you to do something, you don't have a right to say you're not going to do it. Because if he tells you to do something, he's going to give you the grace to do it by whatever measure. Because for him to require you to do something that he hasn't given you the capacity to do would make him unjust. And we don't serve an unjust God. And so it went on that Moses would enter in to the presence of God. And the glory of God would shine upon him. Totally open. And then he'd leave, and then he got around these church folks, and he had to veil his face. The very people that should have been standing with him, the very folks that should have been praying for him, the very folks that should have been walking alongside him, walking up there with him, were the very ones that said, you know what, this stuff that we say that we're following you after, this God that you're preaching unto us, guess what? I see what you've done. I see what he's doing in you, and I'm scared of it. And so the veil needs to be lifted, not off of what people that are unbelievers see, but the veil needs to be lifted for what we see one to another, because those of the house of Israel are our brothers. Even though the vast majority of the Jews do not believe in the resurrection of the Son and that he is our God. And so that's what this passage was talking about in the first scripture that I read when I got up. And that is again why I say we have to make sure that we realize it isn't about us. It's all about Christ. So instead of me getting up here today and telling you what we already know is wrong, I come to encourage you today. I come to tell you that your past is not your future. I come to tell you that your past doesn't determine who you are. I know somebody may have laid hands on you. I know somebody may have called you crazy. I know you may have grew up poor. I know you may have had all things given unto you, and you may not have it now. But I come to tell you that that doesn't determine who you are. Neither does it determine where you're going to go, nor does it determine who you are in Christ. I want to tell you that there is a spirit named past that is assigned to believers, trying to keep them attached to that which had them detached from the cross. And if you don't believe me, there was a man ministering deliverance to a young man, and the demon manifested, and he asked the demon what his name was, and the demon said past. It was assigned to the boy to keep him in his past. And I come before you today to tell you, we don't have room for our past. Our future's too big. Our God's too big. And here's the deal. If we leave a foothold, if we leave an area open, that's exactly where it's going to attach to. And the enemy understands seed time and harvest time. And he doesn't mind sowing a seed in your life as a little boy that you're a dummy. He doesn't mind sowing a seed in your life as a little girl that would make you feel like there's no reason to keep a sanction of your body. He would sow a seed even when you're an adult, that you're useless, that you're not one that can be used. But I stand before you to tell you, you don't have to have a pulpit in order to be used by God. And anybody that thinks that they have to have a pulpit to be used by God, with all due respect, is a poor excuse for believing in Jesus, because Jesus didn't have a pulpit. His pulpit was wherever he took it. And he took it to the streets. He took it to the poor. He took it to the lost. He took it to those who didn't have the good news. And so wherever you're at, you should be serving to give good news. And we as a people have to make sure that we don't ever allow ourselves to be bound by what happened to us. I'm just thankful, and I hope that everyone gets a portion of what I got out of this, because I'm telling you, for God to bring me all the way to here and then reveal to me that this is why, I wasn't even going to go down that road with you, works wonders for me. And if he'll do it in my life, I know beyond any shadow of doubt, he'll do the same for you. I know beyond any shadow of doubt that our God lives, that our God reigns. And I want you to know that thoughts are going to come, that there are going to be naysayers. But God has given us a word for every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against his knowledge. And he didn't tell us to throw it to the side. He didn't tell us to send it up to him. He told us to cast it down, because it come from the pits of hell, and that's where it needs to go back to. And I'll tell you, the type of stuff that keeps people bound by their past is little things that are said and little things that happen. And sometimes it's a misinterpretation of the actual issue that went on. One of the things that I heard growing up that was a veil for me is that you can forgive, but don't forget. And I forgive. And now that I know better, I forget. And it's only by God removing that veil. Because after having something sitting in your life and you believing it for months on end, years on end, weeks on end, you will hold strong to such a thing as that. And I know beyond any shadow of doubt that we as a people have some things that we're holding on to that we need to break free from. And God didn't show up this morning in order for you to remain bound by anything in your past that has you with incorrect thinking or has you with incorrect living. God is ready to deal with those things, but it starts with you changing your mindset, saying that you are not going to go down that path again, saying that you're open enough to do what God would call you to do. And I'm asking head of household, I'm asking single mothers, I'm asking those who are called by his name, if you would allow for God to take you on this endeavor whereby veils are removed, because you can see things in a greater fashion whenever you look unto Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. If you look at people, you're going to have a people's view. If you look at your situation, you're going to have a situational view. That's why it's so important for us to always look unto Jesus, because he's going to lead us to see things in a manner that a natural man can't see it. And that was the perils of Moses wearing the veil, because the people didn't want to see him for who he was. If you want to see God for who he really is, we got to start looking at our brothers and sisters for who they really are. We got to start looking at one another for who we are. Imperfect, but forgiven. I may have an attitude, but I'm forgiven. I may be rude every now and then, but I'm forgiven. The thing about it, don't ever get this twisted. Those who practice righteousness are righteous. Those who practice lives of sin are sinners. So don't let them tell you you're a sinner just because you fail. Don't let them tell you that you're a loser, because I read in reference to love and in reference to our husbandmen, what he thinks about his bride. And in reference to love, he says love never fails. It endures all things. It hopes all things. it believes all things. Where would we be at if we applied that to our relationships? If we applied that to our conversations? If we applied that to even our occupations? I think we'd be far much better off. I think we'd realize the height, width, and depth of what God has put into us winning. Who all knows we serve a winning God? Long as you know that, you know what, I can't receive that. Who knows we serve a winning God? Act like you know it, because if you don't know it, the enemy will eat you alive. That's why it's important for us to know it. God said his people perish for a lack of knowledge. And when you know better, you should do better. And what really, really blesses me is the fact that when I was here in Christ, and I'm just here now, y'all didn't even see that move. But when I was here and I had a couple battles that I won, it blessed me to such a fashion that now when the same issue comes up, I have no problem annihilating it in the spirit. Because I have faith to know that if God was with me then, God is with me now, because he changes not. And that's the place that the enemy will want to have you in, is in a place of not knowing what you're capable of, not knowing what you are, not confident of what your God is capable of. But this morning I want to tell you, stand with Jesus. Stand for Jesus. Stand by Jesus. I'm going to ask if you would stand. We're actually going to get ready to come to a closing. But I want to declare something. Because I know the enemy attacks our minds. And I know he tries to have his way. But we're going to declare this, and we're going to hold to it. Because each one of us has a past. But I bind that spirit that would try and hold us to any area of our past that isn't of God. And we say never again. Never again will Pharaoh control me, because I've been delivered from his power. Never again will I be a slave to Satan. I'm now a servant of Christ. Never again will I allow the devil to do what he desires in my life, but I resist the devil and he flees from me. Never again will I listen or believe the lies of the devil, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Never again will I listen to the voice of the wicked one. Never again will I be vexed by unclean spirits. Never again will I be harassed by the enemy. Never again will I be bound, for Christ has made me free, and I'm free indeed. Never again will demons operate in or control our lives. Never again will we allow any demons to cause us to fear. Never again will we allow any demons of pride to pull us up. Never again will we allow the demons of lust to operate in our members. Never again will we allow the demons of religion to make us act religiously. Never again will we allow the demons of double-mindedness to confuse us and deceive us. Never again will we allow the demons of rejection to control our lives. Never again will we allow disobedience and rebellion to control our lives. Never again will we allow curses to hinder our lives. We break every curse, for we have been redeemed from the curse. Never again will we open the door for demons to come into our lives through unforgiveness. Never again will we open the door for demons to enter in our life through habitual sin. Never again will we open the door for demons to enter our life through occult involvement. Never again will we allow the door to be open for demons to enter therein through rebellion and disobedience. Never again will demons control our mind. We sever all the tentacles, all the fruits, all the roots of every demonic oppression. Never again will we be tormented by the enemy. Never again will the enemy be our master. Never again will we tolerate the works of the devil in our lives. Never again will we allow passivity to keep us from being inactive. Never again will we be cursed and not walking in the blessing. I declare that the blessings of Abraham are over our lives, and we're walking in it. We're living in it. We're breathing in it. We're moving in it. Never again will we act hypocritically. Never again will we allow ourselves to shrink back into what God has delivered us from. Never again will we allow the enemy to control our will, but we submit our will to the Most High God. Lord, I believe in you that never again will the enemy control our emotions. I declare that our emotions belong unto you, O God. Move in and through and all out through our emotions, O Lord, in order that you may be glorified. I yield my members and my emotions to joy. I yield my members and emotions to peace. I yield my members and emotions to righteousness. I yield my members and emotion to the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Never again will we allow for ourselves to act and think like a child. When we were children, we spoke as children, but now we became men and women. May we put away childish things in the spirit. May we stand forth boldly, knowing that God is our God who saves. Never again will we behave unseemly, for love has behaved seemingly. Never again will we allow people to draw us away from the love of God, but we commit ourselves to walking in love, for God is love. Lord, I want to thank you for being love. I want to thank you for loving us, oh God, more than we even loved ourselves, oh God. When we didn't have a way, Master, you were our way, oh Lord. When we didn't know the truth, oh God, you still were the truth, oh God. When we didn't know which way we should go, oh God, you still showed us the way, oh God. So I'm asking you, Lord, to help us, Lord, to never go back to where we've been before when we didn't know you. Grab hold to us, Father. Grab hold to us, Father, and show us that you're able to do all things. You're able to keep our marriages. You're able to keep our children. You're able to keep our families. You're able to keep our church. You're able to keep our nation. You're able to keep our president. You're able to keep all of us, oh God, and I thank you because you're able. I thank you because you're able, oh God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.